Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. You know, last week we started a new series talking about walking with Yeshua. And one of the points that we had talked about was the fact that Yeshua came speaking the words of his Father. Yeshua came as one who is submitted underneath the authority of his Father. And he came and he did the will of his Father and he spoke the words of his Father. So I want to dive a little farther into what actually Yeshua taught when he was here and when he walked with his disciples. What were the things he said? And I guess our question would be, was, did Yeshua teach anything contrary to what the Torah itself taught and what it said? Was he in contrast to it, or did he teach the Torah? Did he live the Torah, and did he come to model the Torah? So this week, I want to start in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. And this is Yeshua speaking. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So here is Yeshua himself actually answering the question. Did Yeshua come to abolish the law or the prophets? Yeshua himself says, do not think that I came to abolish it. That's not why I came. He says, I came to fulfill. Now, the word fulfill there does not mean that he came and satisfied it so that we do not have to do it. He came and filled it up. He came and brought a deeper meaning, a deeper teaching unto what was written in the law and the prophets or the Torah. And one of the ways that we see this as an example is when Yeshua talks about adultery. And he says, if you even lust at a woman in your heart, then you have committed adultery. He took that which was written in the law, that which was given unto us and unto Israel, us as believers are grafted into believing Israel, right? So he takes that which was given unto us and he brings it to the heart. He makes it a heart matter. So it's not just that we're going and we're reading the law and the prophets and saying, okay, I'm doing this, or I'm not doing this. He's looking at the heart. Yahweh is judging our hearts. He's looking at the intent of our heart. So that is the way Yeshua fulfills the law. He brings it to a deeper meaning by bringing it into our hearts. You know, part of the new covenant that we have and what is written in the New Testament is that no longer is the law written upon stones, which was given unto Israel and in place in the Ark of the Covenant. But now that law, which has not been abolished, has been written upon our hearts. And he has given us his Spirit to lead us and guide us according to his word, to walk in that which is righteous. In verse 18, for I say unto you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass away from the law until all is accomplished. So think about this. Has everything that has been written in the law, has everything that had been written in the prophets been accomplished? That would be a no. There are many prophecies that are spoken of in the prophets that have not been fulfilled yet because they speak of his second coming. there are things in the law which have not been accomplished yet because they speak of his second coming, that being the fall feast. The fall feasts are a Moedim, or they are a rehearsal in which we are practicing and learning what is going to come in the future. So those things have not been accomplished. So according to Yeshua himself, that has not been accomplished. Heaven and earth are still here. They have not passed away. So the smallest letter of that which is written in the Torah shall not pass away. Okay? So it's interesting that Yeshua brings it to the letter. He's talking about the written Torah, because something that's important to understand is at this moment in time with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were more into following the traditions of their father, as we read about it in Scripture, that's what it's called. But what they were doing was they were more following their oral traditions, their oral commands, than the actual written commands that was given unto them. By that time, Judaism and the religious leaders had began to write out what is known as the oral law, or you could say the Talmud, in which they began to interpret that which is written law, and they began to add further instructions upon that which was actually written in the Torah. And we see Yeshua call a couple of those traditions out amongst the Pharisees. Number one, the tradition of washing hands. And also we see it when it comes to the idea of his disciples plucking grains on the Sabbath. It was actually not unlawful for the disciples to pluck a grain from the field on Sabbath and to eat it. What was unlawful was one to harvest their field on the Sabbath. And we'll get into that teaching more in the future. So what Yeshua came against was the traditions that was being taught by the Pharisees. We also have the one where they were withholding money from their parents to take care of their elderly ones in order to give unto the temple. And he called that one out as well. And so they were actually breaking the Torah, and what the Torah and the law was represented and given unto them to do in order to follow their traditions and their oral commands that they had created. And their oral commands were created in a sense to try to protect themselves from ever actually breaking the written command. The Pharisees and the religious leaders of the time had lost focus and an understanding of what the law meant and represented. The law was never given unto Israel to justify Israel. Israel was always going to be forgiven by blood. And it was always in the belief in the future Messiah who was coming. The blood of the bulls and goats that they sacrificed on that altar was not what actually removed their sin. It was their belief in being obedient in that, and the coming Messiah whose blood would be shed for them is what cleansed them of their unrighteousness. They were never cleansed of their unrighteousness because they obeyed the law. The obeying of the law was given unto Israel as a means of sanctification, as a means of something that would set them apart from the rest of the nations of the world. And as they walked in God's law, they would be a light unto those nations. And from walking in obedience to God's law, his blessings would be upon them, his life would be upon them, and his joy would be with them. And it's the same today. Obedience to his law does not bring justification. We are justified by the blood of Yeshua alone. It is by his blood that we were cleansed of all of our unrighteousness. But our faith in Yeshua should produce sanctification and a desire for sanctification. And we are sanctified by walking in obedience to his commands. It is what sets us apart from the world, okay? And the writer of Hebrews does say that without holiness or without set apartness, no one will see the Lord. So keep that in mind as well when we think about what are the next steps upon believing in Yeshua. And Yeshua even goes on to say, anyone who gets rid of one of the least of the commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom. Those who does them and teaches them to do them, even the least of them, will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. If you want to be called great in the kingdom of heaven, you need to be one who teaches and does his commandments. Let's go on to another passage here in John chapter 8 and verse 1. But Yeshua went to the Mount of Olives early in the morning. He came again into the temple, and all the people were coming to him, and he sat down and began to teach to them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery. And having set her in the center of the court, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery in the very act." Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. What then do you say? They were saying this, testing him, so that they might have evidence to accuse him. But Yeshua stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. I want to pause here in this section for a bit. Now, before we go further, I want to talk about something here. We see a woman who is caught in adultery. This is a passage that is taught very much, and this part of it is very seldom actually spoken about in this passage. They bring this woman in testing Yeshua. How are they testing Yeshua? They're actually testing Yeshua to see if he will rightly follow the law of Moses, or which is actually the law of God. Okay. Is he going to follow the Torah? Because according to the law, the woman should not have been the only one brought before Yeshua. The woman and the man should have been brought before Yeshua. So the religious leaders are actually the ones who are breaking the law of Moses in the fact that they are only bringing the woman who is caught in adultery. So when Yeshua stoops down and begins to write his finger in the ground, the common belief and thought in this is that the woman gets to go free because there's no one without sin there. But the problem is the law is actually not being followed. And Yeshua is wise and he's into that and he knows that. And they're trying to trick him with this. But he is aware of it. So when he begins to write his finger in this sand, there is a scripture which speaks about those who are wicked, how their names would be written in the dirt of the ground. So they knew that. And so when he began to write in the ground, they knew what he was doing. And they knew that they had been caught in what they were trying to do with him. Okay, so now let's read in verse 11. But when they persisted in asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And he stooped down again and wrote on the ground. And when they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones, and he was left alone, and the woman where she was in the center of the court. So he's called them out for their sin. That's why he's saying, let him who is without sin. So him who has handled this matter righteously according unto the law of Moses, let that one be the first one to throw a stone at her. But none of them were righteous in this manner. None of them had followed the law of Moses rightly. So none of them were in position to throw a stone at her. Okay, so when they heard this, they left one by one because they were not without sin. They had not done righteously in this manner. Okay, verse 10, straightening up, Yeshua said to her, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Yeshua said, "I do not condemn you either. Go, and from now on, sin no more." Interesting thing. One must be condemned on two or more witnesses. So Yeshua cannot condemn her anyway because all the other ones are gone. Two or more witnesses. So even with Yeshua saying, "I do not condemn you," he is following the Torah. He is following the law of God and what it set forth. Now, Yeshua did not come into the world to judge us. And we're going to get into that here. Yeshua's purpose to come into the world was to call us unto repentance. So if he's calling us unto repentance, the idea is there is something that we have been called to obey. When Yeshua said, "The greatest commandments is to love God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself," he is speaking and saying that all of the law hangs upon those two principles. If you have a desire to love God, if you have a desire to love your neighbor, then you are going to find yourselves walking in obedience to God's law. What the Torah does is break down and go into further detail on how we can love God and we can love people. That is what it's about. It teaches us how to love him and how to love people in a manner that is set apart from the world. When you're walking in obedience to his word, you're going to find yourself doing one of those two things. You're either loving people or you're loving God. None of those commandments are going to cause you not to love God and not to love people. They're just teaching you how to do it. And it's very interesting what Yeshua says to her after he says, "I do not condemn you." He says, "Go on and sin no more." So go from here. You're forgiven. I haven't condemned you. But because I have forgiven you does not mean that you go back to committing adultery. It doesn't mean you go back to disobeying the law that was given unto you. But go and sin no more. What is sin? Sin is missing the mark. And the law is our target. It's our goal. It sets unto us the target of how to love God and how to love people. So when we disobey his commands, we miss the mark. Thus, we sin. So his instruction unto us is to go and sin no more. Now, we are human. We will err. We will falter. And he is still faithful to forgive us when we err and falter and miss the mark. But we should be careful not to willfully disobey his commands and willfully walk in disobedience and sin, giving into the desires of our flesh instead of seeking his righteousness, instead of seeking that which he calls righteous. Paul himself called the law righteous, good, and holy. That's how Paul described it. The law sets forth what is good. It sets forth that which is righteous, that which is holy. It sets the mark unto us. Now let's look at John chapter 12 and verse 46. Yeshua speaking. "I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him on the last day. For I did not speak from myself, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me. So this is Yeshua himself speaking, saying, I have not come into the world to judge the world. That was not why he came. Okay. He came unto the world to save the world. He came unto the world to preach repentance, to call people unto repentance. There will be a time where judgment will come unto those who did not receive his message, to those who did not hear his message of repentance, of turning from sin and walking in obedience. It first, of course, happens by putting our belief in him and being washed in the blood of Yeshua. Then we begin to produce those fruits of repentance, okay? So he came to save the world, to preach repentance, to forgive us of our sins, and to tell us to go and sin no more. But there will be judgment that will come one day from his Father who sent him to speak the words that he said to speak to those who reject his words. And Yeshua says, I have come as light into the world. So he's the light of the world. But you know what else was the light of the world? Let's look at Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is light. And reproofs for discipline are the way of life. The Torah itself was called a light. Yeshua himself is the word in flesh. So the word of God is light. His law is light. Okay. Yeshua being the word in flesh is light. So when he says, I come as light into the world, I am the word of God in the flesh. I am the commandment of God, the Torah of God in the flesh. And I have come so that everyone who believes me will not remain in darkness. Darkness is walking in that which is void of the word of God, that is void of the commandment of God. So if we believe in him, we do not remain in darkness. We do not remain unaware of his law, of his commandments, and of his word. And we do not continue to walk in darkness. Not only are we unaware of his word, but we do not continue to walk in disobedience unto his word. But we embrace the light. We embrace his commandment, his word, and we walk in the light, meaning we walk in obedience to his word. We walk in obedience to his commands. And he has called us out of darkness into light. He has called us out of walking in disobedience to God's word to walking in obedience to God's word. His word is to us, I do not condemn you. Now go and sin no more. Now let's look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 1 and see what Paul says about this subject. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall he who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who are baptized into Messiah Yeshua were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Messiah was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. So here is Paul preaching this. He makes this statement. If grace abounds where sin is, does that mean we continue in sin? Do we continue walking in sin because he has given us grace? Do we continue walking in sin because the blood of Yeshua cleanses us of all of our sins. Paul's statement is, may it never be. The writer of Hebrews warns us, saying, do not trample on the blood of Yeshua. Okay? Paul goes on to say, how shall we who died to sin still live in it? So if you are a believer in Yeshua, we and you are considered to be dead unto sin, which means that we should no longer still live in it. The desire of sin should have no power over us. We should be dead unto the desire of sin. We need to learn how to consider ourselves dead to the pleasures of our flesh and the pleasures of this world. And it goes on to talk about water baptism and what it signifies. When we are baptized as a new believer in Yeshua, when we go down in that water, it symbolizes that we are dying with him in his death upon that tree. So we are now dead to sin. That's what it's symbolizing. We are now dead unto sin. And as we come out of that water, we are raised. It's coming out of the water as he came out of thy tomb. And he was resurrected from that tomb. Now we are resurrected as a new man to walk in a newness of life. Meaning his resurrection power now lives inside of us. His resurrection power is what gives us the power to walk in a newness of life. It is what enables us and empowers us to be obedient to God's word. One can never walk in obedience to God's law if they have not first been washed by the blood of Yeshua and baptized in water as a believer in Yeshua. Because we have to experience his resurrection power in our life in order to walk in that newness of life. It is by his Spirit that we are able to walk in obedience. It's not by our might, not by our strength, not by our determination, but it is by his Spirit. And knowing and understanding what his resurrection power is all about. You know, Paul sought that out in Philippians. He says that he yearned, he longed to know and to fully understand the resurrection power of Yeshua in his life. Okay. And let's go and look at Matthew chapter 3 and verse 7. And this is John the Baptist preaching. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for his baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. John's message was to bear fruit in keeping with repentance, or you could say to bear fruit of repentance. That should be our aim and our goal today, is to bear fruit of repentance in our life. He goes on to warn them, saying that the axe is there waiting to be taken to the root of the tree to those that do not bear fruit of repentance. So yes, we must believe in Yeshua, but we also must bear fruits of repentance. Our faith cannot be dead. Our faith cannot be without works. What is the works that follows our faith? If we believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, then we believe what he has taught. We believe in the way that he walked. If we love him, we will obey him. So, if we believe him, we believe his word. we believe his commandments. If we believe his words and his commandments are good and righteous and holy, then what will our faith cause us to do? It will cause us to want to do them, to walk in obedience to them. Our obedience, our works, shows what our faith really is. If we do not have obedience, then we really do not have faith. And to think about the word faith, when you think about it as the way the Hebrews thought of faith, when you think about it in that Eastern mindset, outside of our Western mindset, faith is kind of a circular deal. They would say, because you believe something, you do something. So the idea is, because I believe God is good, therefore I'm going to do what he says is good. My action shows what I believe. We can't make faith just a mere statement of what we say, because faith requires action in order to be completed. Well, hallelujah. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week for another teaching. So come back now, and shalom, y'all. Scripture quotations taken from LSB, Legacy Standard Bible, copyright 2021 by the Lockman Foundation, used by permission, all rights reserved, managed in partnership with 316 Publishing Incorporated, lsbible.org, and 316publishing.com.